In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
That's why I said we're waiting, because we were waiting.
I know, but then I told you that my problem was
Gray
Boy, so I figured you'd just go.
No, I figured you could pick up. Never mind. We'd started like 12 seconds ago. You want Izzy?
Nope, I don't.
Okay. Anyway, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast, the only one that, had a Groundhog's Day joke and forgot it. Yeah.
Are you sure that's a bold claim?
Ow. Damn it, Ezzy.
Groundhog's Day.
It is Groundhog's Day. Happy Groundhog's Day, people. Anyway, this is Magical Talking Hat Podcast, a podcast where we take this hat we found that has its own email, draw some things that you wrote out of it, and talk about them until we're bored. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And Ezzy's over here pissing me off. The producer's in the other room with another cat on top of her. Gray Boy has been ill.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, Gray Boy actually kind of is ill. Gray Boy, as you may or may not know, is 147 years old.
Oh.
So his kidneys are starting to go.
Oh, no.
And we just found this out, and so we're going to switch him to the... Thank you, Ezzy. What I love is it didn't even scare her enough into running away. It scared the piss out of me, but...
I was supposed to remind you that was there, like...
For the last 3 weeks?
4 weeks ago. 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, my goodness. Ezzy, don't fuck with that. Okay, anyway.
But what episode is this? This is 47?
I love that you asked me. Yeah. I think it is 47.
Okay.
I think I told somebody that today.
It's hard for Tony to know, because before the broadcast, he was telling me how he's actually already done this podcast like 1,000 times. What happens is the podcast ends, I walk out the door, and as soon as the door closes, it opens up again, and there I am to do the podcast again.
Yes.
And he knows everything that we're going to draw. He knows everything that's going to happen. And he's very frustrated about it.
And you're no funnier every time.
I know. I don't believe a word he's told me about it, but... apparently, and he's even tried to like commit suicide in the middle of the podcast, but then
they've heard that.
He finds himself sitting in his chair over there. I'm opening the door, saying hello the exact same way I have a million times,
wearing
apparently.
That damn sex hat.
Yeah, so
remind me about this on the next podcast. No. Later, after I tell him about this, which I haven't said about yet.
I know.
But anyway, So Gray Boy has been having trouble, so we're going to switch him to the food for kitties with shitty kidneys, or I don't think that's what it's called, but yeah.
With little bits of kidney in every bite.
No! Yeah, we feed him kidney to replace his.
Going bad.
That's not how it works, and that's really gross. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that he's ailing.
Yeah, but he's 134.
Why do you keep saying, how old is he really?
He's like almost 19.
Okay.
Which for a cat is like 1,000.
Well, like,
he's really stinking old.
Huh. I don't know how cat ears work.
That's really, really old.
I'm not sure anyone really knows how dog ears work
either. The oldest I've ever heard of a cat was 22.
Oh.
And that's far and away the oldest I've ever heard.
Wow.
I think the average for an indoor cat is like 15 or 16 is the lifespan. Maybe. I'm not even sure about that.
Quite a bit less for an outdoor cat, I can tell.
It's like 3 for an outdoor cat. We used to watch this Cats 101 show, and that was one of their... They used to do these like trivia questions in the commercial breaks, and the difference for outdoor was 3 years average. And I was like, holy crap! We're never letting the cats out. So how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing? See, I have to ask for a third time about your birthday because the first time, yes, it was before your birthday, and the second time I was asking how your celebration on Saturday went, but you didn't
do it. Didn't do it.
And now I can ask because you actually did something.
Yes, yes. It was fun. It was very fun. But as I had mentioned on Facebook, we decided that maybe that was more margaritas than we're up for. Neither of us was like hungover or anything. It was just a little bit crazy. We went through two barrels of margaritas.
I have no idea what that means.
It means 120 ounces of margaritas.
Between the both of you?
Between three of us mostly.
Oh.
Kirk had a little bit, but he was driving, so he had like one, and then that was it.
Oh.
And then the rest of us. But it was a good time. We had fun.
Okay.
And I totally didn't pay attention to my carbs, and I ate all sorts of stuff or whatever. That night, a couple hours after dinner, I stumbled into the bathroom, managed to stab my finger and actually take my thing. Still only 131.
And that's good.
Yeah, that's totally good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Like, I'm not even saying, like, I could be higher than this and still be okay. But good is under 140.
Okay. That's good.
And so I was kind of amazed.
So what's that thing?
It's...
Oh.
Ask how my week was.
How was your week?
I can't... What? I can't hear you now. I'm busy playing Angry Birds.
You know what? I hear about Angry Birds. I've heard that before, and I think I know what the little red bird looks like. What's Angry Birds?
Angry Birds is this thing. These are pigs.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to make the birds go and try and, like, knock over the pigs and kill the pigs.
Why are the birds...
pigs apparently took our eggs.
Oh.
And I don't know, ate them or some shit? I don't know. We're mad at them. But so you slingshot your birds over and then...
What? Why'd you touch the string like that?
Because these are special birds that turn into three birds.
Oh.
When you tap the screen.
What do they need to lay eggs for?
I don't know. Because apparently they're cloning.
Oh. So you gotta have the genetic...
apparently. Oh god, don't get me started genetic, on genetic material.
The genetic variation.
Oh god, I have so much to talk about. Okay, so first of all, this thing with the Angry Birds, what I'm talking about...
And so when people talk about Angry Birds and this big social phenomenon, that's what they're talking about?
It's very addictive.
But still...
Like Tetris.
Still.
It's addictive. Anyway.
That's what people are talking about.
Well, this is the free version. There's a different version. But yes.
Huh.
I got my first ever mobile device.
That's what that is?
Yes. I call it my cell-no-phone. Because it's still not a cell phone. I still don't own a cell phone. This is an iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it does everything an iPhone does except be a phone. And how it doesn't have like you know, a cell phone, anywhere you can get reception, you get it. This only works as far as internet stuff where there's wireless networks I can connect it to, like any other computer.
Oh.
But there's one at home that's free, and there's, well, not free, but, you know, I can connect. And there's a free one at work, and so I'm pretty good. And so now I can do all the cool stuff mobile all the time, and it has a camera in it, which is how I was putting pictures up on Facebook. See my burger?
I saw your burger.
That's with this, because it's camera also.
Hmm.
And I joined Twitter now with this. So I'm on Twitter. Everybody be excited and follow me. My Twitter handle was a bitch to find. Bless me. My Twitter handle, for those of you interested, is not quite Tony. That was the best I could find. You should follow me on there. I'm hilarious.
Are you?
I get a little bit more... I'm a little less family-friendly on Twitter, I think, at this point.
Than here?
No, than Facebook. No, here? Oh, no. If you're listening here, you're fine. I'm just saying, like my nephews have me on Facebook and stuff like that. I don't know. They should have me on Twitter. I'm not swearing a lot at this point, but I'm saying things like today about the... They're coming out with a DSM-5 the mental illness thing, you know, the DS.
Oh, yes, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't you hate it when you memorize the rules of a game and then they come out with a new edition?
Cute.
Yes. and the one I couldn't even pass up, I had to put on Facebook, is that I believe that children are the future.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them well and let them fight the Mayans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how it works, right? Like, we have to stop the Mayans from ending the world. So
I guess
we'll raise children as an army of children to fight the Mayans and save the world.
I guess so.
That's how it works, right? I mean,
I deactivated my Facebook today.
No, why?
Yeah, I did.
Why?
Because I got the idea yesterday, and I thought, why am I on Facebook still? This is ridiculous. I don't really do anything there.
You post all sorts of shit all the time.
Yeah, but I don't have to post things. I mean, it's not. I mean, those things are posted elsewhere. So I mostly enjoy seeing what other people post. Like, you know, people that I haven't known for years, I'll see what they're doing. But I don't post anything about my life or my family or anything, and I'm not inclined to. So it just occurred to me that I was just wasting a ton of time having anything to do with Facebook. So I quit.
Wow.
I give up.
Wow. So nothing specific caused this?
No. It's kind of like when I decided to be a vegetarian, you know. It's like all of these
things.
You just
got bored with meat?
No. All these things that... There was a reason it took me so long to get on Facebook in the first place. And none of those reasons really went away. You know, it's not like, oh, this is completely different than I thought. No, that's pretty much what I thought it would be. The only reason I really kept with it was because I was getting in touch with so many people that I'd known before, which happened. But it's not like I talk to these people every day or anything like that. And I'm realizing that some of them I talked to a little bit when they first got on Facebook and when I first got on Facebook, and I don't talk to anymore. Okay, so whatever. And you know, I can just interact with them in email that infrequently. And other people, if I have any contact with them, it's all one way. They're posting pictures of their kids and stuff. And while I enjoy knowing what's going on in their lives and all that stuff's really cool, I feel like a voyeur or something because I'm not posting any pictures. I'm not talking about my life. And again, not inclined to. So it seems like this is just dumb for me to do this.
Huh.
And I don't play any of the games, and the ads bother me, and they're starting to creep me out about how they try to, you know, gear them toward you and stuff. And the privacy policy stuff changes all the time, and I don't want to read it. And I just decided this is dumb, so I stopped. Which again, it's very much like when I became a vegetarian. I was a meat eater until I was like, I don't know, 20 years old. And I didn't think I'd ever be a vegetarian, but just there were a lot of different things going on in my head and in my life. And then, I don't know, like one more thing came in. It was just the right combination of stuff to make me say, yeah, I don't want to eat meat anymore. And I didn't. I stopped cold turkey. So.
Did you just say you stopped eating meat cold turkey?
Yeah.
That, Henny Youngman. Well, I mean...
But I do that kind of stuff all the time. I'll start something and then I'll decide, why am I doing this? And I'll just stop.
Yeah, I mean, you're a big old freak, but I mean, if you weren't enjoying Facebook, you should not do Facebook.
Sometimes
that's a rule for everybody. If you're not enjoying Facebook, stop doing Facebook.
Sometimes I stop doing things because it seems like there's no other reason for me to be doing it except that it's become a habit, or you know what I mean? It's just become a routine.
Yeah, see, that's totally the wrong way for me to think. For me, I much more. I don't go for reasons why. So it's all pretty much one when it comes to that sort of optional stuff. Is do I enjoy it?
Yeah, I know.
And if you don't,
you and I have had this conversation before.
Well, especially with something like Facebook. Facebook is absolutely optional.
I know, that's exactly my
point.
And
so that should really be the only category, is do you enjoy doing Facebook? If you don't, fuck it.
Well, there can be reasons why you enjoy it that are more substantive than you just get a kick out of it somehow. I mean,
but why would they need to be? It's Facebook.
Because it's me, and that's how I think. I don't just do something just for the sake of doing it.
So you're saying you actually did enjoy Facebook, but you don't consider your enjoyment to be substantive enough to continue.
That's right.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. You're weird.
Well, but we've had this conversation before. You tend to do something unless you can... Wait, how's this work? You tend to do something unless you can think of a reason not to do it. And I tend,
don't know about that.
I tend not to do things unless I can find a reason to do it.
I think when it comes to optional bullshit that is my spare time...
We're Americans. Just about everything is optional.
Exactly!
What do you really have to do?
I have to earn a living.
I guess.
So I'm not going to say, like, I don't enjoy going to work, so I'm not going
to
do it.
In a way, you don't have to, because there's a safety net, there's a welfare system, there are ways that you can...
Yeah, no, see, the producer is calling from the other room. Yeah. No, I need to. But few things are as optional as Facebook in the world today.
No, I agree, but I just, I'm the kind of person that if...
And I suppose
if I have a good reason to do something, I'll just stop doing it.
But that's what I'm saying, is enjoying something to me is the best reason for anything.
No, not for me.
That's weird to me. I don't understand.
But again, you and I have had this conversation before. Like, if you think you're going to enjoy something, like you said, that's the only reason you need.
Absolutely. I mean,
unless there's a compelling reason not to do it.
If it's not hurting anybody.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
I don't think that way at all.
And that's
what
I'm
saying. If I'm going to do something, I have to have a good reason to do it.
It's one thing to disagree with you. I fundamentally don't understand that perspective.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We've had this conversation before.
Are you the same? Do you not understand my perspective?
No, I understand your perspective.
See, so you're the freak.
Well, I'm not denying it.
People, write in and tell us if William's a freak or not. I'll bet you there's people who agree with you out there.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
amongst our listenership.
I don't know if I think about happiness or enjoyment the same way other people do.
I think my wife is like that too.
You know, a lot of people,
which is yet another thing to add to the list of ways you and she are similar.
A lot of people ask me, like, if I'm happy or what makes me happy, and I'm not even sure how to answer that question.
A lot
I'm not
of
sure
stuff
what they
of
mean.
The way you guys seem to see the world and interact with the world is very similar. It's weird.
Well, in terms of enjoying something, I confess that I'm not really sure what that means. The closest I can come to understanding that is I enjoy eating really dark chocolate because when I eat it, I actually get a good feeling from it.
And he actually made a film about it.
Yeah. But that's the only experience I have like that.
But you understand happy? Because to me, that would be what enjoy is makes me happy.
Well, I guess. I mean, I'm not sure what people mean when they say that. When I say that something makes me happy, I guess I just mean that... Well, I don't even know what I mean. Well, maybe it comes down to the fact that happiness as a thing that people talk about is not a high priority for me, like, in my life. You know, whatever I've experienced as happiness is not something I look at and say, wow, I want to feel that way all the time. I don't... It doesn't...
See, and to me, it is the single priority as a general concept, not my happiness in general. So I'm concerned with my happiness and the happiness of others. And that's pretty much it. Everything can be boiled down to that. Because if I'm happy and everybody else is happy,
but what does it mean?
Then I think I'm done.
What does it mean? Is it some kind of internal existential satisfaction, or is it actually a pleasurable experience, or... What is it exactly? Because when I eat dark chocolate and I feel, and it feels, you know, good and kind of, I don't know, I can't really describe it. Is that what happiness feels like, where you're just sort of...
No, because to me it's very much an emotional thing. It's not a physical thing.
It calms you down.
Physical pleasure can frequently result in emotional happiness, but being... The closest definition I've found, but I don't know, is ultimately content with the situation. At ease and content with the situation you are in. Which I do not think is a full description, but it's the closest I've found. Ezzy. To be like Ezzy. I think Ezzy's always friggin' happy.
Well, I often don't have a particular opinion about the situation I'm in. It's just the situation I'm in. You know, it just is what it is. Sometimes I feel varying amounts of stress over it, but you're always going to feel some amount of stress. I mean, stress is...
Yeah.
If you don't feel stress, you're dead.
I think level of contentment can largely be measured in how much you'd rather be in some other situation. Which becomes difficult because in the infinite number of situations, there's probably always going to be one you'd like better. But
well, in my experience, if I'm in a situation I don't like, it's you just do something to change it, you know. So it's I don't sit around waiting, wishing I was in a different situation. I just do something different. And usually that changes it all, and I'm no longer in the situation I didn't like.
But then, theoretically, you should be happy.
I guess so. I don't think most of the time I'm sad. Is it? Are there just two states, happy and sad?
Oh, no, of course not.
Oh. So if I'm not sad, I'm not automatically happy.
No.
Oh.
And in fact, you can simultaneously be both, I think, but ultimately, defining any emotion is just about as complicated as when people try and define love.
Well, right now, I'm not happy.
But well, yeah, you're doing the podcast.
No, I mean, like, in my life, I'm not happy right now. But I would say that the thing I am, aside from happy, is, like, angry. I'm angry. I'm in an angry place.
Angry and happy don't frequently go together.
No. That said, there's a lot of things I'm very satisfied with right now.
Is quitting Facebook tied to your anger, or alternatively, is there any hope that quitting Facebook will decrease some of your anger?
No, it has nothing to do with it.
Hmm.
Although I suppose that, you know, quitting, I've thought about doing it for a long time, and the reason I didn't is because, I don't want to maybe make someone upset if I disappear or whatever. And I'm not going to make a big announcement about it when I go or whatever.
But now you have on a podcast.
Well, but that's because we talk about things
we're
doing.
Can you hear the sounds of people? Guys, I have Twitter now. Tweet me live right now to tell us about your feelings about him leaving Facebook.
But
go ahead. Send it to them now.
So
we haven't got any yet.
The fact that I'm in an angry place right now in my life might have made it so that I finally said, why am I even stressing about this? I'll just do it. You know what I mean? In that sense, it's related, but not otherwise.
Anger confidence.
Kind of, yeah. Well, okay. It's just like, why should I worry about a trivial thing like this when I've got these other really heavy things to worry about?
No, you know, nobody's tweeting, except fucking Will Wheaton.
You realize that our broadcast isn't live, right?
No, but I mean, when they listen to the recording, I want them to tweet.
But that's in the future.
Not for them.
But for you.
No, we're doing it right now. I don't understand. All fucking day, Will Wheaton has been tweeting, "It's Groundhog's Day again." Like, all the time.
I just realized that he was in something that I used to watch.
Leverage.
No.
Big Bang Theory, Stand By Me.
No. I don't know, it's not important.
So
anyway, I quit, and it's been a good day because I
quit. All right, then.
Because I've done other things that I might not have done.
What'd you do? You did nothing. See, you never
did
nothing.
I started reading a book, but it's not fiction. So you're not going to care.
What is, I don't even understand.
And it's interesting. I like it. I forgot I even had it. I was digging through my old stuff, and oh, man, I forgot I had this book, and I read like the first 10 pages, so now I'm reading it. But it's not fiction, so you don't care.
So now I'm the entire media empire for this podcast. I'm the only face for this podcast out in public now.
So?
It's rough. Especially since we're expanding our media empire to Twitter and Google Plus now. I was hoping that you would take some of the load of Facebook.
Why would I take the load of Facebook?
Because I've got my hands full with Twitter and Google+.
No, but how would that even happen? I mean, I'm just on Facebook as me. No, who's going to...
I'm just on Facebook as me.
Stuart and I were friends on Facebook before I quit.
Stu, and he hates you.
Personal.
That's why
no, it's not personal. I was
Facebook
thinking about doing it for a long time.
Because of you and all the Welsh.
No, that's not true. But other than him, as far as the people... Well, and Mark, of course, but... Everybody else.
He quit Facebook because of you.
No, you know, Mark is on Google Plus all the time anyway. So.
Are you on Google Plus?
Yes.
Oh, you're on Google Plus!
But I don't really do it, you know. So
you're on Google Plus!
I'll be my email's on Google, and I'll be looking at email, and I'll go, oh, yeah, Google Plus, and maybe I'll go in there once in a while, but for the most part, I don't.
I'm going to join Google Plus this weekend, so keep an eye out. The email...
Nobody should expect to see me there just because I've got it.
The email associated with that and also associated with my Twitter account is wishiwastony@gmail.com. Because that was the best I could do. I couldn't even get not quite Tony for Gmail. I got that for Twitter, but I couldn't get it for there. But, okay, shut up. I consumed a lot of media that we have to talk about.
Oh, wow. So we'll only get two questions again this week.
If you're lucky. I still can't believe you quit Facebook.
It was an easy decision.
Right? But the children...
I didn't even say we can be friends or anything.
I know.
Dropped it.
You're so cold.
I am. I didn't even say, it's not you, it's me.
Did you even tell Facebook that you were seeing Google Plus at the same time?
Because I'm not really.
Wow.
I know.
You don't like to give it labels or anything.
No, it's like, the reason I have Google Plus is because when it was in beta or whatever, someone sent me an invite and I accepted it and I hardly ever go there.
Oh, God, you're mean to Google Plus. I hope Google Plus isn't listening because it's going to cry a lot.
Yeah.
I saw two movies on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Back to back.
Double feature.
Yeah. The producer likes to do this. Back in the day, we once did a triple, but we can't handle that shit no more.
Well, that almost sounded double. Dirty. But you were talking about movies.
You're right. This was movies. But we're too old to sit for like 6 hours in movie theater seats.
It still sounds dirty. The more you talk, the worse it sounds.
But we did a double.
It's because of you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even think that if it was anyone else saying it.
Did you need something?
She just keeps coming back here. She's obviously not getting what she wants.
Maybe you should join Facebook. Anyway.
I hear it's on the rebound.
Okay, so anyway, yeah. Saw two movies. Saw Underworld Awakening, immediately followed by Haywire.
Oh, that's why you said that watching Haywire is
better. The way to make Haywire seem better is to watch Underworld Awakening 20 minutes before. Yes.
Was Kate in that one? She's back, right? For the
Yes. This one is an actual sequel to the sequel to the original. It is not a prequel, or to be more accurate, an extension of a 10-minute flashback done into an hour and a half. Yeah. And then Haywire, which I thought I knew stuff about, and then as we went to it, I realized the movie I was thinking of was Contraband. And I knew nothing about Haywire, so.
But they were both not so good.
No, they were, well, Underworld Awakening is not good. But we knew it wasn't going to be good. Unfortunately, it is largely not bad in a way that's that funny until you're nearing the end and you sort of get into the last big, you know, half hour, 45 minutes is going to be the climactic battle sort of stuff. Then it got kind of funny. Then it got a little bit amusing in its badness. And they had the balls to set up for another movie.
Really?
Ended like, yeah. Or like Underworld 5. What the fuck? Really? Come on. But yeah, you can totally not see it.
I probably won't.
Yeah. And Haywire was decent.
I don't even know what it's about.
I didn't either. It is one of those a spy got betrayed and has to find out who it is kind of thing. This woman is like, you know, covert ops for hire kind of thing. And she did this job and she ended up getting framed for a murder. And now she has to find out who framed her and why. And, you know, she's being hunted all over the world and all that kind of shit.
Sounds boring.
No, it was actually pretty good.
Who's in it?
Everybody. Well, not everybody. But Michael Douglas, Antonio Banderas, Ewan McGregor, Michael Fassbender. And I forget the lead because it was not somebody who I'm familiar with. but she was very good. Yeah, it doesn't pass the Bechdel test, by the way. She's the only woman in the whole damn thing.
I was going to say, that's a lot of guys.
She's the only, totally doesn't pass the Bechdel test. but here was an interesting thing for me. Oh, and Channing Tatum is in it too, but I hate fucking him.
Well, why do you do it then? Does he pay you?
I handed you that one. Nicely done, sir. I gotta get that was nice.
But you didn't answer my question.
I fucking hate him. Is what I meant to say. Nice.
We'll be clear.
Nice. You caught that. A little part of my brain was like, "You realize what you just said," and then the rest of my brain was like, "It's William. Who cares?" But then you, yeah, wow. All right then. No, but anyway, here's the thing. Like fairly early on. We get into there's lots of highly trained operatives fighting each other scenes,
mm-hmm.
and they do it fairly realistically,
okay.
at least in my opinion, compared to a lot of action movie fight scenes. Right. It's very fast. It's very close in. It's very do what you can to win kind of stuff and mm-hmm. things. And so it's kind of brutal in its way. I mean, there's not a lot of gore or anything, but it's kind of brutal. And when it first time it happens, it's a guy. He gets the drop on her, and so the first few seconds is him whooping up on her. And I am socialized enough and have other issues enough that immediately a man being violent against a woman is starting to bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually she sort of gets her own. And at a certain point, I realize as the other scenes go on later, they're just, like, with certain exceptions with how it's filmed, because this is still America and we still have to have sexist, you know, over sexualization of women, so in general, the way the fighting is choreographed, it's just done like it's two highly trained operatives. Like, it's not that we're victimizing the woman here. She's getting as good as she gives, usually in an action movie, the woman either just gets beaten up and victimized, or she's like badass Lara Croft or whatever, and she just takes them all down.
Right.
Like, these are genuine fights between two people where it goes back and forth, and sometimes one person's winning and sometimes the other, and one of them is a woman, and that's it. And so suddenly I was simultaneously really pleased and also still having issues, because they're still, like, during the parts where she's losing, I'm like, this is making me uncomfortable. And I'm like, dude, they're treating it fairly. You should relax. but it was decent. It was a decent spy action movie kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to ever see it.
Probably won't.
Also, Bill Paxton is in it as well.
Okay.
There's all sorts of people in it. It's fun. If you want a good action movie, go for it. Good action movie with a female lead that's believable, go for it. But yeah, you can miss it. There's just nothing good in or out right now. It's kind of annoying.
I haven't even really been following anything about what's out.
And now you'll know even less.
I know. Which is good.
Don't worry, I'll tell you on Google.
Because that's another thing, is a lot of things in Facebook were really making me depressed, actually.
Yeah.
Stuff I didn't want to know.
I have that problem. That's
stuff I didn't
want to see. I used to have that problem about NPR, too.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Facebook does that some. I've learned not to click on a lot of stuff on Facebook, but
well, this stuff's just like right in my feed, and I'm like, ugh, are you kidding
with
me?
With all the Komen Foundation stuff?
Huh?
All the Komen Foundation stuff?
Well, no. I mean, sure, there's just I don't want to get into it. But is that it? You just saw those two films?
Well, and last night we started the first step in the journey of 1,000 miles to watch Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
We watched the first half of the original miniseries, which I had already seen, and which I did not like, and which is why I did not originally watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, I hated it less this time. I don't know if part of it was expectations, or part of it was because I know ultimately it goes somewhere. Because when I originally saw the miniseries, they had not announced a TV show yet. So I don't know if that was part of it, but I'm hating it less. And I also hear the miniseries is, a lot of people like it a lot less than the rest of the show.
I liked it less than the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I didn't have really any problem with it when I saw it, but but I don't think at the time I thought that it would make, you know, a great show or whatever. Yeah. I don't even know why I started watching the show, but I did and I liked it.
I really do want to see it, but it's just been, it's such a huge time commitment because it's so, like, it's a bunch of seasons and stuff, mm-hmm. and we just kept seeing stuff that was shorter, so we're like, oh, we'll watch that later. And so the other night, I'm just like, this has to happen. And especially because I was listening to a different podcast that accidentally gave what I think is a fairly big spoiler for fairly close to the end of the series. And I'm like, this needs to stop. I need to watch this so I can stop worrying about this shit.
Yeah, it is one of those shows with a lot of twists and turns that are... I've seen lots of pop culture, you know, references to the reveals all over the place.
And that's the thing. It's been long enough and it was popular enough that it's just not going to work. Like, you know, people in this day and age cannot not have The Sixth Sense spoiled for them. And it's getting really close with BSG, so I'm just like, I need to move on this.
Yeah.
So we'll be picking that up a bit more. I still haven't finished the damn Foundation trilogy because I'm playing so much Mass Effect 2 way into that game.
Good game, huh?
Yeah. I'm liking it a lot.
Good.
Trish is a little not liking watching me play it, which is funny because she finally sort of pinpoints, she says, it's the most militaristic game I think you've played. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, all the stuff where you're taking cover and you're, you know, you have your squad, you're ordering around and stuff. And I'm like, this is probably the lightest game for that kind of stuff of any game that has this stuff. But then I realized, of the video games we play in this house, it's the only one like that. So it is the most militaristic game that we've had in this house.
Yeah, we might get it. I don't know. We can't decide if we're going to figure out a way to get the first one first.
Well, I can just lend it to you. I have it. And you absolutely should do the first one first.
Well, yeah, but you don't... You have it in what? Like,
Xbox? Oh, that's right. You guys are PS3 people.
Yeah, right.
Oh, fuck.
Exactly. So I don't
know. Well, okay. Here's... Well...
No.
No, I don't know how that works.
No, there's no way to do it.
It's really a problem. Well, unless you play it on the PC.
Yeah, that's really the option that we're considering, but I don't know.
The first game is very good, and the decisions pull over into your other game, but they created a downloadable content thing that's like a 15-minute interactive thing that has you make all the major decisions from the first one, and then it'll carry over into your second one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's only the major decisions, I think, which is too bad, because I'm discovering all sorts of minor stuff, like quests that I ended certain ways. I'm bumping into the people from those and seeing how things turned out and stuff in this game.
Mm.
So it's kind of interesting for that, but
yeah.
But no, I do highly recommend them. They're good things.
Okay.
Okay. We're almost at 38 minutes, so some hat time. Why you look so forlorn all the time?
I told like, you.
Oh, because you quit Facebook?
No, I'm just... Oh, you're angry. I'm angry. I'm an angry person.
Well, you should yell more on the podcast.
No, I don't want to do that.
It's good for that.
No, it's not.
I get all sorts of things out at the podcast.
Is that right?
Mostly yelling at Azure Talent, but also who I'm going to meet next weekend in person. I'm going to meet Azure Talent. I'm going to meet Verimon. I'm going to meet Useless Trivia Man. I'm going to meet other people who I don't remember who I don't think listen to this podcast. But I'm going to meet them also.
When's that?
Gamacon, next weekend.
Oh.
The little Iowa City Gaming Convention. And I'm going to play in 3 games that I'm actually going to play and not run. I'm very excited about that.
That'll be fun.
Yay. Okay, you have a question.
Stuart! Dear Mr. Hat, do you answer all questions or are the silly ones locked in a magical X-Files vault? Cheers, Stuart.
Seriously, if the silly ones were locked away, are you implying the possibility that the questions that we've been responding to are the serious ones?
I don't know. Well, first of all, the hat doesn't answer any questions.
That is true, yeah.
But if the insinuation is that some get discarded or whatever, I'm pretty sure not.
I mean,
everything pretty much makes it into the hat. And if it's not read on the air, it just means it hasn't been drawn yet.
And we've fucking had, what's the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? We've had tennis anyone. We've had, did you throw that shit before you got in the room? I mean, come on, people. If we were hiding the silly ones... Those would not have made it. But no, all seriousness and weak premise aside, every topic and question sent to the hat's email address ends up in the hat, and it is randomly drawn out by us literally as we are recording. We don't even draw it out beforehand. Literally, William just put his hand in the hat, drew out a card, and that was the question.
We don't know. We hear the question at the same time you do, basically. Yes. So
we don't.
That's why this show is so terrible. I mean, if we
lack of effort.
If we drew ahead of time and thought about something funny to say, then this wouldn't be a really crappy show.
I think there are broader reasons why this show is
It's one of the reasons.
Yeah, no, but you're right. It is a key factor. It is a key. The lack of prep. We don't have any pre-interview with the hat, as it were.
Because, we'd certainly... First of all, if we were going to do that, we probably would rake out the ones that we think are ridiculous that we couldn't find anything funny to say.
All of Azure Talon's questions.
Then we'd have already the ones that we're going to talk about. And, we'd maybe be good at faking, like, these are new questions or we're just making it up or whatever. But clearly we don't know what it's going to be or we'd be funnier. Or I would be. You're pretty funny, but...
I'm fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you are. That's true.
But...
Wait, who's hilarious?
But the problem is we can't count on my level of super genius and comedic timing all the time.
It's not just that I'm not funny. I'm like a black hole of humor.
Yeah, you bring the show down.
It just all but falls into me and
there's
can't
a
escape.
Pathos issue because as near as I can tell, the success of our show is based on people love you and they love to hate me. That really seems to be the feedback largely that I get. But I mean, I don't understand how they love you. I think it's really a pathos issue. I think you're so... They want to care for you. You're like a little lost, bedraggled, ugly, ugly puppy that they have found.
But not too ugly because then you're scared of them or you don't like them.
Yeah, just the kind of ugly that's just sad more than scary, you know.
I gotcha, sure.
Just like, oh, fate has been cruel to make you look like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that,
I know
like people usually say to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's
like
right.
That. Yeah.
I get that all the time.
Yeah, it's like a puppy that looks like you, so, you know. But,
yeah, well,
but
man.
they want to care
Wouldn't
for that.
That be something?
Whereas they love to hate me. I'm kind of like the Kim Jong-il of this podcast.
You're the one who kicked the puppy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Again, like I do with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's the metaphor and real life, it fit. But yeah, I'm like the Kim Jong-il. Like people make fun of me because deep down they fear me, you know, and hate me. But they tune in to see what crazy shit I'll do next.
I see.
Yeah. So this is how it works. This is what has garnered us such twos of listeners is with this formula. So don't mess it up.
How can I?
I'm just being me. Be less pathetic.
Oh.
Don't do that.
That won't happen.
Okay, good. Good. All right. So what was the question? Oh, yeah. No, we got it covered. All the questions have equal chance. We draw them out at random. So... enjoy and think before you write, but do write, please. Everybody write the hat, not a bunch, just write a question or two, maybe a question a week or who knows, but just write a little bit to the hat, a question or a topic that you would like us to discuss, because that's what we do. And the hat is at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and so write there. Okay, good. Now I'm gonna draw one.
Yay.
Come on, not Stuart.
Come
We've
on.
Been a little bit Welsh heavy lately. Not Stuart. This is from Kia. Guess which one?
A.
No. Close.
Oh.
Kia B.
Dang it.
I had a 50-50 chance. I feel like this is one that we have touched on before, but we can do better.
Okay.
Dear the Magical Talking Hat. Nice and formal. Which is better in the Harry Potter series, the books or the movies?
Well, I've never read the books.
Well, that's right. That's right.
And so, and I can tell you, is I very frequently, I've said this before, watching the movies feel like I'm missing stuff yeah. that the people who've read the books will understand.
I
can't speak to either one, really. I didn't think the movies were very good if it felt like that when I was watching it. But people who've read the books might not realize that it's like that and might think they're great, so...
And I've read the books, and I've read each of the books before I've seen the movie. I made a point. I've regretted it. Speaking of which, holy shit, they're going to make a sequel movie to Watchmen. Or actually a prequel movie to Watchmen.
Why?
Just to piss off Alan Moore, I think. I mean, I don't even know. That's a terrible idea.
Okay.
But anyway. So, I read the books. The books are better. But it's a trade-off, because the books take longer. You know, and there's well, some yeah. stuff, like most of the last book, that is annoying as shit.
And that you can really do without.
Like, you remember the first movie of the last two, like the part one of that last...
Mm-hmm.
And how it was just angsty teenagers getting nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
That's like 400 pages.
Hmm.
In that book. Like, it was over for you in a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time for me.
Mm.
And it's just as pointless.
Mm.
But, yeah, there's lots more detail. It's much more fleshed out. They have done really well achieving, I think, a good visual of the books. Like, stuff looks like I would think it looks.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, the books are better. The books are almost always better.
Well, I don't know how they can't be. I mean, you...
Sometimes, I have run into it, and I can't think of a good example now, but when a book is much more about message than narrative, when there's another focal point besides just specifically narrative, sometimes you can do better with a film.
Hmm. It's just the book always has details and things that make it a richer experience. I think that's always going to be the case.
Yeah, but sometimes they're details that ruin the experience.
I suppose.
And sometimes the author is really trying to achieve something that you can't express in words, but you can express visually.
I suppose it's possible for a novel, say, to just not be very good, but the filmmaker who read the novel was inspired to tell a story very similar but much better. Yeah. I suppose that can happen.
And it is a rarity all around. It sticks in my head that I've got one or two times where I've run into it, but for the life of me, I can't remember what they are right now. You guys should tell us on the blogs anytime you have run into movies that you thought were better than books. But I think it's a rarity, and in Harry Potter case, I definitely think the books are better.
I've always hoped that if anyone wanted to make a film out of my books, that they'd make a movie that's so much better.
Oh, no, they already made. It's a whole series, the Twilight Saga.
Shut up.
Did you not catch the...
Don't even joke about that.
Breaking Dawn Part 2 is where the androids come in.
Okay.
Okay, I still haven't read that yet, by the way.
I know.
Soon. But I gotta finish Foundation. And,
yes, I know.
Yes. But yeah, no, I think... Do you ever intend to read the Harry Potter books?
No. It's really not my kind of thing. I mean, I probably wouldn't have gone to see the movies except that, you know, everybody in my household wanted to go see them.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a cultural phenomenon thing, but...
Like Angry Birds.
It's not the kind of book I would ever read, and after watching the films, my opinion hasn't changed on that.
Ow. You keep climbing up that same leg, and your claws are really sharp. It's starting to hurt.
I don't think she cares.
I think you're right. All right, another question.
Apathy. That's what I see in her face. In her kitty face.
Kitty apathy. catapathy. Catapathy. Is that... Could that be a word?
Blood Sparrow.
Blood Sparrow! Known on other in other places as Michelle or Blood Swallow. Here we just call her Blood Sparrow.
What constitutes a cool nickname anyway?
What does constitute a cool nickname?
Well, that's an excellent question. A cool nickname is... It's an art form to come up with them, really.
I think so.
And I think some of my standards for a cool nickname is... it's got to be something that when it's heard by the person who you're giving a nickname to and their friends, it's something clicks, like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. I don't prefer nicknames to give people that are, like, ridiculing them or something, even mm-hmm. though I know that's how most nicknames come about. But if a nickname seems to encapsulate, you know, what a person is to a particular group of people and they like it and all their friends like it too, to me, that's a cool nickname. It doesn't matter if it's a nickname you've heard before or if it seems cliche or if it's really unique. Doesn't matter. Now, if you're asking more about, say, a handle for, you know, a forum or something like that, I have no idea. But a nickname like that a person has and that everybody calls them that like their whole life, it just takes a... There's usually like in a group of people or at a school or workplace or whatever, there's like one person who's always giving people nicknames and they're really good at it.
Yeah.
And that person's never me.
I always feel like it can't... You can't really... It almost has to be accidental sometimes.
Well, yeah.
Because... And I very much... I like the concept that the Simpsons did, although I think they were talking about band names. But something that sounds funny the first time and gets less funny every time you hear it. And so eventually it starts to sound normal.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
because there are some that... And it's odd, because I've had many, many nicknames.
You have? Years. What, like what? Because I've had hardly any at all.
Well, this is the thing. One that came up in college, sort of accidentally, that really stuck to the degree that there are still people on Facebook today who refer to me this way, was Papa Tony. And originally this was an accident because of a roommate I had, because he knew another guy named Tony, and that was his nickname. And so it just stuck in his head, so he would say it to me every once in a while. And then other people overheard it, and I sort of, I had a little bit of a paternal thing going in my social circle, where I sort of was everybody's dad a little bit, and so it became a thing. And yeah, it still stuck with some people today.
Well, I've had people attempt to call me certain things, but nothing ever stayed.
And just weird ones, because like... with the producer, and this is one I use online a lot, is Pukatuka, which was actually a weird cookbook name that Jamie Oliver did. I think it's something Australian or whatever. And she was reading about it, and she just jokingly said, "That's what I'm going to call you from now on." And she said it for a couple days, just like being silly, and it just sort of stuck around. And it's a thing now. And it usually has to be accidental. I remember a summer camp where we sat around. One night, there were like four guys in our cabin, and we decided we were going to give each other nicknames, and we came up with ones. They sucked. One of them, like, magically stuck, but the rest didn't. But that one became very normal afterwards, to the degree that we couldn't remember his real name. And to be fair, I think that was a nickname he had already had. He said he had it in school already, but I think it's very difficult.
Well, most of the time, anyone... tried to give me a nickname, like you said, it was a very deliberate thing. It wasn't kind of a spontaneous or accidental thing, and so it just didn't work.
Except Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen works. Guys, William's nickname is Dairy Queen.
Nobody calls me that, but you don't even call me that very often.
Yeah, all right, Dairy Queen. That's because I can't do it without doing the voice.
And besides that, it's not a nickname you came up with for me. It's just a nickname you saw on...
But it's perfect for
Home
you.
Star
Abby
Runner.
And I call you that.
Like she doesn't. She doesn't.
When we're talking to ourselves, we do.
Whatever.
We talk about Dairy Queen.
Whatever.
When you see William on the street, say, "Hey, Dairy Queen." And William, when people say that to you, say, "I told you I don't want to be called that. I made a mistake."
Whatever. Yeah, I don't know why nicknames just never have stuck. Maybe because, you know, a lot of people when I was growing up, they called me Bill, which is a nickname already.
Yeah, which still, I've run into people like that somewhere in their, like, late adolescence or adulthood, they switch their first name kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of those, so, like, to me, you're William, and you always been, but people know you as Bill growing up and stuff, and that always throws me. One of my roommates decided that coming to college was a perfect time to change his name, which it is. And so he introduced himself as Theo, which is what we all called him, because his first name was Theodore. We come to find out from, like, his mom and phone calls occasionally and stuff, is his everybody else always called him Ted.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more, a lot of people called him by his middle name, which was Yancey. And so it totally would throw us. People would call on the phone asking for Ted or asking for Yancey, and we're like, who the hell is it? And it was just very jarring to me. And it's very jarring to me when people call you Bill.
Well, it's jarring to, I mean, one of the reasons I started going by William where I worked was because William is on all my official documents, and when people would call, if I worked somewhere and the headquarters wasn't where I was working, you know, yeah. I was working in a branch office.
Yeah.
Whenever anyone needed to call the headquarters about me, but I went by Bill, even in the branch office, they didn't know who I was because all my official HR records said William. And it was a big pain in the neck.
Stupid.
I know, it's stupid. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to be William at this place of work. I'm going to introduce myself as William to everybody. And so that's just what I go by now. Everybody who knows me after 1998 knows me as William. Everybody who knew me before knows me as Bill. And my mom used to call me Billy, and my dad calls me Billy still. And my dad would call where I worked, and he'd ask for Bill, and the receptionist would not know who that was.
Yeah.
Bill Wright, even, and the receptionist would not know who that was. And my dad would kind of sigh and go, William, because he hated calling me that. He said, I asked him what the big deal was, and he said, I just don't like that name. I said, why did you call me that then?
Why did you name me that?
He said there were two names I told myself I'd never name a kid. It was William and George. And George was his maternal grandfather's name, who he loved and adored. I don't know why he has a problem with George, but William and George. I said, well, why'd you call me that? Well, we named you after a doctor we worked with, and that's true, but it's like, that could have been my middle name. My first name could have been Charles. Charles was his paternal grandfather. He seemed to like that name, but no, whatever.
Or Yevgeny. I've always thought you kind of look like a Yevgeny.
Yeah. Whatever.
I get Anthony because all of my stuff says Anthony. But, I mean, I grew up with Tony, so I'm just used to it. I've gotten to where I'm okay with Anthony. Like, some people, that's a sign to me. If people are calling me Anthony, they don't know me well enough. And Trish gets that all the time, of course. People say Patricia, we totally know. And then the hilarious ones are people who say Pat. And it's like, you clearly don't know her, and you've taken it upon yourself to shorten her name, even though you don't know her. So you're ignorant and presumptuous all at once.
I've been called, when I introduced myself as William, I've been called Bill anyway. I've been called Willie. I've been called Will.
Dairy Queen.
I went by Charles in high school with some people, my middle name.
Ah.
I don't know why that was, but that's
my nephew is named William, and it's very critical that he's not called Bill or Billy or Willie. I think Will, we do Will and William, and which leads to constant issues in this household, because when Trish or I is talking about William, it's like magic. The other person always thinks they're talking about the opposite one of who they're talking about. To the degree that I believe one time I was talking about William being potty trained. And not that Trish thought you were being potty trained, but Trish was like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, to that degree, like, with that much context, she still went the other direction and was like, what? Like, it's just magic. It's to the point that, like, I start thinking of it. I'm like, she says William, and I'm like, I think it's this one, which means it's not. Like, I don't know why. He's four. You're older than that. So it's just weird.
The only shorthand for William I've never been called is Liam. No one has ever called me that.
Ooh. Is that really, though? Liam's its own thing, right?
No, it's...
Like, the Gaelic name Liam?
Liam is
actually short
for
William.
William.
Really?
Mm-hmm. hind end of it. Liam.
Really?
W-I-L-L-I-A-M.
No, I know Liam. That they are the same letters, but that's the traditional name Liam is actually just a diminutive of William?
Yes.
I mean, I know you can do it like the whole Topher thing, but like, that doesn't mean it's a real thing before now. But really, I did not know that.
Nobody's ever called me that.
I will shove you inside a garbage disposal, Miss Thing.
She just wants attention. That's her deal. I don't know if we answered your question, Blood Sparrow, but...
We did the best we could. This is a difficult night, clearly.
It is.
We got some anger and some apathy. And...
Can we draw another one?
No, we're pretty much at an hour now.
All right, well, thanks, Blood Sparrow, Kia B, and Stuart for your submissions.
Thanks for your questions. We're expanding the Empire, people.
Well, they were all questions, weren't they? Mm. Not just comments.
We're expanding the Empire. You can follow me on Twitter. Not Quite Tony. That's what I'm called on Twitter. Soon you'll be able to follow me on Google+. I'm Anthony Parsons. I will be Anthony Parsons on there. And you can like us on Facebook, The Magical Talking Hat. You can find us there. Not William. He'll be dead. But the rest of us, me and Ezzy.
Yeah.
Write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I know I always bitch at you guys for writing the hat wrong, but do it anyway. Remember, I'm the Kim Jong-il of this setup. And William is the ugly, ugly puppy. I'm going to switch the about to say that. Basically, I'm Kim Jong-il, and William's an ugly, ugly puppy, and we have his cat. Pisses me off. Also, go to the blog and read all the exciting things other people say. If you look back recently at old episodes, Sir Guido has been catching up. And so he's been going back and filling in some links and making some comments, so you should go check that out. Anyway, the blog is at themagicaltalkinghat.com. Go check it out. Chat with all your buddies. And keep listening.
I thought the dice bag thing was pretty fascinating. I couldn't believe, though, that someone would actually have 300 or so.
I believe it.
That just amazes me.
Did you not see my pound of dice I got?
No.
It's a lot of dice.
I still don't get
it. I don't know. It's 300. It's like 100 probably.
I still don't get why anyone would have so many. But
it has to do with Facebook.
Okay. Obviously, I don't get that either.
See?
I don't get a lot of things.
You Google Plus people play cards.
What?
I just
don't understand a lot of things.
You're so active on MySpace and Friendster. I don't really get that.
Shut up.
When he says shut up, that means I won. anyway,
he's lying. So that's what it means.
That's true, too. So check out all those things. They're fun. And keep listening. And I apologize for people who dislike anger and apathy. That was our show. So to sum up, if you don't like anger and apathy... Fuck you, we don't care. See what I did there?
I see that. Wow. Combining both in one statement.
And Ezzy?
she doesn't care either.
Ah, she wants to bite me now.
She's a honey badger.
No, she is. Ezzy Badger doesn't give a shit. It's disgusting. Okay, anyway. It's getting out of hand. But we will see all you people next week.
Yes, we will next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As he says something. No, don't bite.
She's not gonna.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.